You want to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 5. We're going to pick up in verse 25. If you don't have your Bible handy, it will be on the screen. We'll look at several scriptures throughout the day, but we're going to kind of start in Ephesians 5. And while you're looking for Ephesians 5, let me pray for us one more time. Father, again, we just thank you that you've gathered us together here today. And Lord, we ask that you speak to us through these passages. But we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you and from your word today in a way that transforms us. But we need to be transformed. We need to be more like you. So come and have your way and speak to us. And as always, we invite the Holy Spirit to be present with us because we know that as the Holy Spirit is with us, there can be no spirit of distraction in the room. And as the Holy Spirit is with us, there can be no spirit of doubt or confusion in the room. Only the Holy Spirit gets to speak and move. And Holy Spirit, we do long for you to do just that. Amen. Well, today is Father's Day, of course, and, you know, it's really hard to preach to an American greeting card holiday, right? Hallmark comes up with these holidays, and then for some reason the church thinks they got to preach to that. I'm like, wait a minute. There's no verse in Scripture for Father's Day. That's a Hallmark holiday, right? It's really hard to force Scripture back onto Hallmark holidays, but I think the verse that we're going to look at today will give us a good starting point. I chose this verse from Ephesians because it deals with husbands loving their wives. And honestly, there's nothing a father can better do for his children than to love their mother. And if you're not a father, I think you'll still get something out of this message because it's also a message on leadership. Ultimately, this is about being more like Christ as we discover what Christ is like. This will lead to better fatherhood, better marriages, healthier children, better leadership, and better society. All right, Ephesians 5:25, Stephen. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I think this one verse gives us a good place to start on leading courageously and as we think about a starting point for Father's Day. So that we're to love our wives just as Christ loved the church. So we must start then by figuring out what does this mean? How did Christ love the church, right? If I'm supposed to love my wife like Christ loved the church, then how did Christ love the church, right? Logical conclusion. What did it look like when Christ loved the church? Because that's what we're to emulate. So we need to understand how Christ loved the church. And so I want to look at several things that I think are examples of how Christ loved the church. We'll look at a few more scriptures, but I really want to kind of look at how it was that Christ loved the church so that we know how to love our wives. Amen? All right, number one. His love was sacrificial. Jesus gave everything he had for the church. Jesus gave everything he had for us as individuals. His love was sacrificial. I want to look real quickly at Matthew 20, verse 26. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus' love looks sacrificial. It was servant-based. It was even slave-based. In the Greek, there's something interesting going on here. The word for servant that's used in this verse is deaconos, where we get our word deacon. Deacons that serve in the church. And then there's also the word doulos, which means slave. So in the Greek, it'd be, instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your deaconos, and whoever wants to be first among you must be your doulos. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. And Jesus is setting himself as the example to that. So when Paul in Ephesians says, love your wives as Christ loved the church, Jesus says, you do that by being a slave. That's sort of how that passage in Ephesians 5 ended. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus gave himself up for the church. Men, we must serve our wives and our children sacrificially as Jesus would and did. In fact, your wife should be your greatest point of sacrifice after Jesus, of course. Not your career, not your job, not your hobby, not entertainment, not sports, not golf, not fishing. Just in case. As we serve and love our wives, we in turn then also serve and love our children, right? But it's this lesson, it's this idea of leadership is rooted in serving. In the Duluth Vineyard, up in Duluth, Minnesota, there's a large vineyard church, anyone in that church has any aspirations on being a leader at all, you first have to clean the church toilets for 6 months. You cannot step into leadership until you've cleaned the church toilets for 6 months. We have to see, you have to demonstrate that you can be a servant to others at that level before you can really be a leader, right? Years ago, I just did the missions update, and I showed you the picture of Zavimbi, our main leader in Mozambique. Many years ago, I think it was 2018 or 2015, we had him here in the United States for a time. And there was, we had a Sunday morning service, and then in the afternoon, we were going to have an open house where people could come and meet Zavimbi, and he could speak a little bit and ask questions and stuff like that. So after the church service was over, we were going to clean up real quick before we had this open house. And so I grabbed a vacuum, and I'm vacuuming the back there where the cookies and snacks are. Zavimbi saw me doing that, and he was blown away because that's not their culture. Every time I go to Mozambique now, he always introduces me. This is the pastor that cleans the floors. They don't have vacuums over there, so he just says, this is the pastor that cleans the floors. That made an impression on him because he's not used to seeing that level of servant leadership. But here in the passage that we really want to focus on Ephesians, where he's saying, men, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He's talking about being a deaconess and a doulos, a servant and a slave. The second thing I see about Jesus as he loved the church was Jesus' love was courageous. He was leading courageously all the way to the cross. He could have turned back. He could have said, this is too hard. You know, I love these people, but not that much. Right? As men, we need to lead with this same level of courage, but not just any courage. Not the courage it takes to rush onto a battlefield. That's good. We need to lead courageously toward the cross. That's what's missing in our day and our culture. Men leading their families courageously toward the cross. So many men want to play it cool, which is the opposite of courage. They don't want to be seen as Jesus freaks. To them, that seems weak or wimpy, not manly enough. There is nothing less manly than being on the fence. The way we can lead courageously is going all in for Jesus. That's what God wants from us, and that's what our wives and children need from us. So many men think, well, I just got to provide, I got to provide, I got to provide. No, you have to lead courageously toward the cross first. Provision will be in that. Growing up in Sunday school, we may have learned that Jesus was this super passive, timid guy. He was peace-loving, but he was anything but passive. He was a man's man, a blue-collar guy. He was a carpenter. He made a whip of cords and drove the money changers and the power brokers of the day out of the temple to defend the purity of the synagogue and the worship of the day. There's nothing timid or passive about that. This was courageous and pointed toward the cross. He didn't shrink back in fear when the authorities confronted him either. We need to courageously lead spiritually toward the cross. Amy and I have been, I guess she's probably in the nursery today, my wife and I have been married for 35 years. And over those 35 years, she has written me a number of love notes. The thing that I find interesting is in almost all of those love notes, she mentions my leadership of the family. And in all our years of pastoring, my wife and I have met with many, many, many women for counseling. The number one complaint, without question, the number one complaint that we hear from women is, why won't my husband lead? Now, I realize that for years, society and culture have told men to shut up and sit down. But I think it's time for men to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Number three, the third thing that I see in the way that Jesus loved the church is Jesus always fought against injustice. In John 8, when the Pharisees caught a woman in adultery, they brought her to Jesus and demanded that she be stoned. Now, there's something you got to understand about that passage. The Pharisees loved shame. Their primary tool was shame. So in that scene, when the Pharisees bring this woman caught in adultery and they bring her to Jesus to try to get him to stone her, they would have brought her there naked to further shame her. So how did Jesus respond? John 8, 7, Stephen. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, so when he straightened up, and you remember the passage that says that Jesus knelt down and wrote something on the ground? He was diverting his eyes away from her since she was still naked. He was diverting his eyes away from her so as not to shame her. So then he straightened up and he said to them, let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Jesus saw the injustice in what they were doing and he quickly took care of it. This was a courageous act because it went against their very strong culture. He loved this woman in a counterculture courageous way. He saved her from a shameful death. They wanted to take her out and stone her to death. But he fought for justice for her. Did you notice they didn't bring in the man that she was involved with? In case you were wondering where the injustice was. For us today, we need to courageously fight against all forms of injustice against women and children. But we also need to fight against injustice in our own homes. Fighting against the injustice of disrespect. I'm astonished at the things that women say their husbands say to them. And I've seen it firsthand. I've seen husbands speak to their wives, and I'm like, what did you just say? Like, holy moly. We speak only in a way that builds up. There is no woman who ever deserves to be treated like a slave, like a plaything, talked down to, or demeaned. In love, courageously fight against all of this, even if it's in your own home. And it's yourself that you're fighting, men. This is what our children need. This is what our world needs. Our children need to see Jesus brand justice in action, even in our home. There is also a great lesson in leadership here, fighting against injustice wherever you see it. And ladies, it's okay to expect this from your fathers and your husbands. Don't settle for other stuff. Okay? The fourth way I see Jesus loving the church is Jesus' love fought for honor. John 19. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. We don't know for sure, but perhaps Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, had passed away at this point. But as the oldest and firstborn son, it would have been Jesus' responsibility to take care of his mother. Culturally, this would have been very much an honor thing. So even while hanging on the cross, Jesus acts courageously to protect the honor of his mother. After his death, she could have ended up homeless and destitute. As men, we must courageously fight to protect the honor of our wives and our children's mothers. Our children need to grow up in an honor culture. Number five, the fifth way I see Jesus love the church. Jesus' love was never selfish. Everything Jesus did was for the benefit of others and from his courageous love. Mark 5. Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. This was a selfless act on Jesus' part. He could have kept pressing on to get to Jairus' sick daughter. The typical men approach, like, get her done. Let's get her done. We got this job, let's go get her done. Jesus could have given up on finding who touched his clothes, given the size of the crowd. But he didn't. He sought her out so that he could speak to her, bless her, and end her suffering. He wanted to give her emotional support. In this passage, he not only provided physical healing, but he reestablished her in the community. Because she had been bleeding for so long, she was unclean. She couldn't go to the temple. She couldn't go visit anyone else's house. She couldn't touch anything. She was perpetually unclean because of the bleeding. And by Jesus taking the time to speak to her this way, he's restoring her emotionally into the community. But you see, this kind of selfless love takes time. And this is one area where men tend to struggle. But the wives and children in our lives need this from us. Number six, the sixth way that we see Jesus love the church, his love was quick to forgive and point toward grace. Luke 23. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was written a notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we were getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus is hanging on the cross with insults and shame coming from every direction. And in his courageous love, he actually at one point says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then to his fellow crossmate, he says, "You'll be with me in paradise." This points toward grace. Jesus forgave and pointed toward grace, even in the midst of the most horrific scene. I know far too many men who keep score of their wives and children's shortcomings. Courageous love and leadership are quick to forgive and point toward grace. And again, our children need to see this in the home. The seventh way I see Jesus love the church, Jesus always provided for. We saw that in the passage we just looked at, where he cared for his mother. We know that Jesus fed the 4,000. We know that Jesus fed the 5,000. At one point, he provided money to pay the temple tax for Peter in Matthew 17. And in one case, he provided the very basic and necessary act of foot washing. But perhaps most importantly, he provided for the church for all time by sending the Holy Spirit. Men, our love should always provide for. First, spiritually, leading toward the cross and inviting the Holy Spirit into our home. Second, financially, get a job and be seen working. Children will learn work ethic from fathers. Third, through acts of service and care. Our children need to see us serve. They need to see us serve their mothers. This models Christ in the best possible way. As we serve in our own homes, we are demonstrating Jesus to our children. Men, also lead financially in your home, not just in making money, but with tithing. Lead your family by setting the tone for tithing. Men, we need to lead in tithing. There is nothing greater you can do to provide for your family than to let your children see you tithe. End of story. Don't leave it to your wife, but teach it to your children. Number eight, again, the way that we see Jesus love the church. Jesus always did the right thing and defended the least. There's a story in all four Gospels where Jesus is anointed by someone identified as a sinful woman. She pours expensive nard on his feet and then wets him with her tears. It was a really awkward moment for everybody in that room. The Pharisees mock and ridicule her. But Jesus defends her, blesses her, and forgives her sins. In the midst of a very awkward moment, Jesus led courageously and did the right thing by blessing and forgiving this woman that had been ridiculed by the Pharisees because of her sins. There's a story in Matthew 17 where some religious leaders ask Peter if his master pays the temple tax. Jesus led well and did the right thing, which wasn't what he wanted to do. He wanted to tell the religious leaders to take your tax and go jump in a lake. But instead, he tells Peter to go fishing in the lake and pull out a coin to pay the tax. He set an example for us on how to avoid unnecessary offense and to lead well. We can do the same things in our home. We can lead well and avoid offense, even when it's not what we want to do, because that's what Jesus did. Amen? Number 9, the ninth way we see Jesus love the church. Jesus always taught and led spiritually. Jesus never passed a crowd without taking the time to teach them a lesson. You ever notice that? Every time Jesus passes the crowd, he stops and he teaches them something. We can do this in our homes. Man, we really need to follow the Jesus example here. Speak into our children's lives. This is a great opportunity. The best opportunity for you to make disciples is with your own children. Don't miss that opportunity and don't leave it to someone else. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We are told to love our wives as Christ loved the church. We have seen just a few ways that Christ did love the church. Jesus always gives us the perfect example on how to lead. Now we just begin to walk in this and we begin to emulate this at home. Now, of course, some of you might be asking, well, that's great, but how am I supposed to do all of that? That's not me. It might not be you, but it is Jesus. Just follow Jesus. Don't try to do it in your own strength. Just say, yes, Jesus, this is what I want for my life because it's what you are and it's what you commanded us to be. Just let Jesus do it. One last passage and I'll wrap it up. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. This gives us basic guidelines for fathers, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. So many men, especially my age and a little bit older, we did not grow up in that kind of environment. But here's the thing, when you urge people to live lives worthy of God, you won't always be popular. But that's where leading courageously comes in again. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for you. On this Father's Day, that verse and understanding how Jesus loved the church is the greatest thing that we can do for our families and our children. All right, I'll invite the worship team back up, and then we'll do some ministry time in a bit.